information on how to become a St. Jude Partner in Hope, call 1-800-374-4995. Scratch-offs from the Illinois Lottery are not redeemable at the moment. That's according to a statement from the Lotto saying they're experiencing a temporary outage of their machines while they're transitioning to a new central gaming system, which includes all new retail terminals, equipment, and vending machines, and a new digital lottery platform. A Decatur mother accused in the murder of her 2-year-old daughter through neglect appeared in court Thursday for her arraignment. Tuanka Davis is charged with first-degree murder in the death of Tania Barnes. Charges indicated the child died of malnourishment, dehydration, and cold exposure, which prosecutors alleged was the result of brutal or heinous behavior, indicative of wanton cruelty. Davis could face life in prison if convicted. For these stories, podcasts, and videos, go to nowdecatur.com.
They want to undo what President Trump did. I'm Dave Anthony, Fox News. House Democrats have got the ball rolling today on a resolution to block his national emergency declaration at the southern border. Fox's John Decker live at the White House.
With the backing of House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, Democrats are expected to file their resolution today. Identical companion legislation will soon be introduced in the Senate. The resolution blocking the president's move only needs a simple majority in both chambers to get to the president's desk, where White House officials have said he would use his first presidential veto. Democrats and some Republicans argue that President Trump is violating the separation of powers by using an emergency declaration to get additional wall funding. Dave?
John, North Carolina is going to redo the congressional election for a still vacant House seat after allegations of absentee ballot fraud. And Republican Mark Harris, who had declared victory after the November election, agrees with the decision.
It's become clear to me that the public's confidence in the 9th District seat general election has been undermined to an extent that a new election is warranted.
Jesse Smollett, defiant in Chicago, insisting he did not stage the hate crime attack that police now call a hoax, charging him with a crime. His lawyers put out a statement.
Mr. Smollett is a man of impeccable character and integrity who fiercely and solemnly maintains his innocence and feels betrayed by a system that apparently wants to skip due process and proceed directly to sentencing.
Fox's Mike Tobin in Chicago. After Smollett was freed on bond, he went to the set of his TV show Empire, and TMZ reports he told him he's sorry, but he swore to God he's not guilty. Police say he paid the two guys he claims attacked him. An American jailed as an accused spy in Russia is going to be there a while longer. A court in Moscow today ordered Paul Whelan to stay behind bars 3 more months. Whelan's lawyer claims someone handed him a flash drive and he was unaware it had classified info on it. A Boston police officer wounded early this morning after getting into a gunfight at a traffic stop. The suspected gunman drove off but was found dead around the corner in the car. This is Fox News.
When you fire up a John Deere 1 Series tractor, you can tackle the job without wrestling the attachments. Hook up everything from a front loader to a drive-over mower deck in no time, so you can haul gravel, cut grass, or do any job in between. Because when things just click, work just gets done. And now get a 1 Series for just $99 a month at your nearest participating John Deere dealer. Nothing runs like a Deere. Run with us. Search John Deere 1 Series for more. 0% annual percentage rate. For additional cost information, please call toll-free 855-633-2315.
The average smoker tries to quit up to 30 times, and many are looking for an alternative. Juul was designed by smokers, for smokers, to be a satisfying alternative to cigarettes. Juul is a vapor product that contains nicotine for a satisfying transition. If you're one of the 34 million adults who smoke, know that there is an alternative to cigarettes. Make the switch at Juul.com. That's J-U-U-L.com.
Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical.
Roger Stone, a former Trump advisor indicted by the special counsel, has been told to stay quiet about the case against him.
Roger Stone apologized to Judge Amy Berman Jackson, telling her in a D.C. courtroom he made an inexcusable mistake by posting her image on Instagram alongside what appeared to be crosshairs. The judge called the apology hollow and expanded a gag order, telling Stone he cannot talk about his criminal case on TV, the radio, in print, online, or post about it on social media. Stone has pleaded not guilty to charges of lying to Congress and witness tampering related to special counsel Robert Mueller's investigation. Last week, the judge imposed a limited gag order prohibiting Stone from talking about the case near the courthouse. In Washington, Jared Halpern, Fox News.
It'll be day two of the strike for teachers in Oakland, California. More talks are expected later today. In some schools yesterday, not a single student showed up. Something that happened on this date during World War II, an act of American heroism you probably don't even know about, is being remembered in England.
75 years ago today, Tony Foulds was 7 playing with other children in a city park in Sheffield, England, when a stricken American warplane attempted an emergency landing.
He saw us on the grass. He had to make, shall I try and land and hope I don't hit these children?
To avoid the children, the plane crashed into nearby woods, killing 10 US airmen. Mr. Falls, now 82, spends his days tending to a memorial.
Their spirits are here, and I shall always be with them. I shall never, ever forget them.
To mark 75 years, the US Air Force organising a flyover. In London, Simon Owen, Fox News.
On Wall Street, stocks could rebound. Dow futures up more than 100 points the morning after a 103-point loss. I'm Dave Anthony. This is Fox News.
Cataracts don't just happen suddenly. They develop slowly over time. The effects can start as early as age 55, and many adults aren't even aware that they have them. Gailey Eye Clinic uses precision laser technology to correct the cataracts and improve your vision. Cutting-edge technology, paired with the area's most experienced doctors, can help you see the world clearly. To learn more about cataract surgery, visit GaileyEyeClinic.com. Gailey Eye Clinic, focused on you.
Now Decatur and Hickory Point Bank are proud to bring you a new video series, Invested, highlighting locally owned businesses that are proud to call Central Illinois home. Find out about Heinkel's Packing and why they are invested. This 106-year-old family business now spans four generations and faithfully serves its customers with the highest quality, award-winning smoked meat products. Learn more about Heinkel's and why local matters to them in Invested, presented by Hickory Point Bank and now Decatur.
Here is Lindsay Romano with your WSOY three-day forecast.
Partly sunny skies today, highs near 45 degrees. Then for tonight, a chance of rain. Could even see some thunderstorms after 3 a.m. Lows around 37 degrees. Tomorrow, rain and thunderstorms possible. Highs around 54 degrees. Then Sunday, mostly cloudy skies. Gradually, we'll get some sunshine with highs near 40 degrees. Right now in downtown Decatur, it is 29 degrees.
Good morning and welcome to the Friday, February 22nd edition of Byers & Company. Our education spotlight, Mark Topper and Topper on Sports, and talk to Tom Brinkouter and the folks at Brinkouter.com. It all starts now.
You're listening to Byers & Company, only on WSOY, 1340 AM and 103.3 FM. Streaming live at NowDecatur.com.
Back here on a Friday, good morning and welcome. Every Friday morning, we check in with the folks at District 61 and do our education spotlight. There's a lot of moving parts, a lot of things that are happening in the district, a lot of great things that are happening, and it's our great pleasure to welcome Dr. Fred Bouchard and Sam Johnson, who's not an educator. He's an architect. I guess you're an educator of sorts, right? Actual architect. Is that a glamorous gig?
It's a fun gig.
I need to pull that microphone up just a little bit there. That's okay. It's a fun gig?
Yeah, it's a fun gig.
Do you like it?
Are you kidding?
How long have you been doing it?
33 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
You've been involved in a lot of big projects. Mm-hmm. How did you guys get BLDD out in front like that in the community? Because I'm hard-pressed to think about any major project that's happened, you know, over the last number of years that you guys haven't at least been a part of.
Oh, I appreciate that.
Yeah.
I think, you know, this year we're celebrating our 90th birthday. So after you've been around for 90 years, I guess you're going to do some projects.
There's not a lot of places that have been around that long, right? No. You know, we're approaching our 90th as well. So you guys were around before radio, which is a pretty amazing thing. We'll get into some of the details, but how important is architecture to education? I mean, we have the argument about bricks and mortar, right?
Sure.
And I think that's it's completely changed from maybe the conversation we would have had 20 years ago about bricks and mortar. But how important is architecture to education?
Well, there's a lot of research that shows how our environment shapes our behaviors and student outcomes. Obviously, the most important thing with education is the relationship between the teacher and the students. That has the primary impact. But, you know, the ability for students to be in places that are naturally lit, to be accessed to daylight, to be able to move through a building without too much anxiety and too much stress. All of these things have impacts on student outcomes.
Okay, this is something probably if they don't do what you do for a living, most people don't really think about.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they might.
True.
they might react to it without knowing it, but walking through the halls, they don't. I think about, like, I went to Eisenhower every day, right, back in 1982, and we really didn't think about the architecture. Now I go in there, and the only thing I recognize is that one hallway, you know, down the front and everything else. But I don't think we knew what it could look like. You guys could see that, right?
Yes, absolutely.
And still today, all these years later, it looks brand new, and there still has that wow factor. I mean, I'm sure you guys hear this all the time. When people walk into Eisenhower, there is a psychological impact of just walking into a place that looks like that, right?
Absolutely.
That's important. Dr. Freb, did you, I mean, you're fairly new to the community. I mean, what did you think when you walked in there the first time?
Oh, absolutely. I drove my wife by our first time we came and visited, and she even said that, wow, that's a really nice building. Just from the outside, we didn't walk in.
Yeah.
But, Sam and his team did a great job with those projects.
Well, the concept, though, seems more like it always seemed to be more like a community college feel or more of a quad than necessarily a public school. Mm-hmm. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I mean, I know you get some old timers like, yeah, all you need is this and this and this. But it makes people, I think, want to go to that school. And I love walking in there with people for the first time. We did the swag program. We started doing all the videos there, and we brought this camera crew in that had never been in there. They were like, I mean, because these are visual people, right?
Yeah.
And they were just blown away. All right, so now we're talking about BOLD. And boy, you educators love your acronyms. There's nothing more, right? If you go to a school board meeting, not understand a thing that they say. Literally, Building Better Opportunities for Learning Indicator. Is that right?
Yes, it is.
BOLD. Did you come up with that one?
No, I think I got to give Maria probably credit for that.
Okay.
Maybe a couple school board members weighed in on that, but no, there's people a lot smarter than me who connected all those dots.
What is the BOLD plan overall?
You know what? I think at the end of all this, we want to make sure that when our students enter buildings, they get these great learning environments, cutting-edge opportunities. Sam's working on some things right now where we've hacked some classrooms. I'm going to not take asunder. He's going to talk about that.
Yeah.
But really, it's that each of our students have that great opportunity to have these authentic experiences in their learning environments.
Okay, so let's talk about some of the timeline here. You guys had you're transitioning to the one middle school. We talked about that last time you were here. Prototype classrooms, hack spaces. I don't even know what that means. What is a hack space?
Well, it's coming up with a quick prototype of a possible solution.
Okay.
As a process of invention goes, you've got to come up with ways that allow people to understand what a space is going to look like, how it's going to feel, how it's going to function before it gets built. So the best process of invention are using this design thinking approach. And so what we do is we create prototype learning environments by hacking an existing environment. In other words, in the gallery of Stephen Decatur right now, you're going to see a project-based learning prototype. So it's not finished construction. You know, it's not polished like the things that you talked about at Eisenhower. It's framed up. It's got technology. It's got furnishings. So teachers and students can use the space, understand what it's like, understand how it impacts student behavior, student concentration, and learn from what works and make sure that gets implemented in the final design.
You know, part of this is the visual wow effect and what that has on kids and parents. But we go back, and this is in all seriousness, in my time on the Public Schools Foundation Board, back when we were buying like Promethean, smart boards or something for the first time, you had teachers that couldn't plug them in because somebody across the hall was using. I mean, this is how antiquated, the electrical system was in some of these schools. And I know that people have a hard time believing that. I would ask you, what does your nightstand look like tonight? You know, when you go to bed with all the devices you have plugged in the way we live in the world, classrooms need to be ready for that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's quite a change, it can happen incrementally, by building bigger, better versions of old ideas, or, just as the phone came through and transformed our life, we can think of new solutions, better solutions that allow us to operate effectively within the dollars that the district needs to operate.
Well, let me ask you this from an architect textural point of view. We look at the car industry, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I look at the industry I'm in, and I've watched what everyone's tried to do, which is fascinating. The car industry figured out, okay, what takes us 5 years basically from design to production of a new car. Mm-hmm. And the way we communicate changes dramatically in those 5 years. Yes. So what the car companies did is they quit trying to figure out the dash, and they just started making the dash a receptacle for your phone, right? Mm-hmm. Because the phone's going to change 10 times in those 5 years. So all we have to do is make this dash ready for this phone to interface with, and then we don't have to worry about the technology.
Right, right.
Is there something to that when you're building classrooms or building buildings? Because, I mean, you know, we don't know what 5 years from now looks
like. Sure, that's true.
You could build a school 40 years ago and 20 years later, it was still going to look the same. Now we change so much so quickly, we don't know what 5 years
looks like. That's, you know, and that's a great way to describe what's going on in school construction right now, because there is no uniform definition of what a 21st century facility is.
Right.
And so that's why we're going through the process that we are. This is a design thinking process, letting students and teachers drive the bus about how the educational environment should evolve. Then we have a chance of hitting something that will be effectively utilized. There's so many new school designs that sit there unoccupied, not used, not not filled with students and teachers doing amazing things. And so going through this process is the process that allows us to align facility response with teacher practice and student learning.
All right. Why do you suppose that we left public school districts without air conditioning when the rest of the world adapted, you know, so long ago? This is sort of like the last place you go in a professional setting where we send young kids and not have AC.
I wish I could explain that.
I wish I had a dollar for every old person that complains about this. I really, because I know you have AC in your home. I mean, it's a standard way of living for everything except public education.
Yeah, I can't explain it. And by the way, I would argue that today's schools are hotter than when our grandparents were going
through. A lot more equipment that's humming.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's producing heat just like people.
That mimeograph machine, you know, wasn't putting out a lot of juice, that's for sure. And so that's going to be a part of this, right? Yeah. We were talking off the air about school closings and heat, and then you get to winter and all of that. The idea that these schools will have AC, not only for the kids, but for the teachers and the staff, this is a huge improvement.
Absolutely. And it's you know, you are saying, what do you want at the end of this? Absolutely, having air conditioning in all our buildings that house students and staff, where teaching and learning is going on, as a matter of fact, it was a primary driver to even kick the conversation off.
Everyone remembers what it was like to sit there and be completely distracted because it's 105 degrees. I mean, that's just not a great learning environment. I mean, you're going to improve everybody's life by doing that. All right, so tell me what's happening. We heard about the middle schools and what's happening with that. What's happening at the elementary level?
Okay, district-wide, we're going through a planning process. Had our first big meeting 2 days ago, where what was called a futures workshop. But we're trying to, you know, there are a lot of elementary facilities that are impacted that are going to have some construction. Some is just air conditioning, but others are going to be reconfigured. And so we are defining what future-ready elementary learning environments look like, so that as those first projects roll off, the additions to South Shores, the additions and renovations at Parsons, Muffley, and Franklin, they can all follow sort of a uniform roadmap, if you will, so that all schools over time create the same kinds of learning environments. We establish equity across the district. So we've taken the first steps, the futures learning environment. The next few steps are going to be things like defining what that environment needs to include, and then ideation. It's where we sketch concepts about how renovations can occur.
Okay, and then what buildings are going to go away, or at least go away as used today?
You bet. We're going to combine Stevenson and Parsons up north, and so that they will go to Parsons. We're combining Oak Grove and Franklin, and those students will go to Franklin. We're combining Baum and Muffley. Those students will go to Muffley. And then then as we combine our two Montessoris and bring them to Thomas Jefferson in August of 2020, that gives us an opportunity for some Enterprise students who may not be part of that Enterprise program and with Montessori to stay there at South Shores.
Okay. So then what happens to, like, a Baum?
You know what? I think in Baum's case, it'll be repurposed within the district. There are a couple different, whether it's an early childhood, whether there's a because Baum's are really, it's a nice building, it's air conditioned, that particular building probably is unique of the others. The other building, you know, I think we're talking about how people utilize. I think the ROE has talked to us whether one of those buildings may be available. Parks and Rec have talked about maybe amping up their senior center and looking at that a little bit differently.
Okay.
So they'll I think there'll be some people that will look at that. Durfee is obviously going to be a building that's closed, and it will be, you know, we'll be able to
look at what happened.
Download that.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So
we don't want to leave those eyesores around.
No. But you've got so many buildings and so many kids, mm-hmm. and instead of trying to spread out the kids to fit the buildings, you're fitting the kids in a right size space, sure. Right? I mean that's just an effective way of using your money.
Yeah, it's what's necessary to be sustainable.
Now, they had to do this in Chicago a couple of years ago, mm-hmm. And it was not very popular. I mean, right. they have so much gang violence there that it caused problems because kids had to cross over from one gang territory to another, get to the new school mm-hmm. they were going to. I mean, thankfully, we don't have to worry about that kind of thing.
Right.
I mean, so this is about repurposing and resizing based on the population.
Yeah, and it's also driven by these opportunities for students to learn.
And make it better.
Yeah.
But more affordable at the same time.
Absolutely. It's dual purpose. It's
all right. So how much fun do you have doing this rather than just sort of regular? I mean, you know,
This is why I get up.
Yeah.
This is getting to work with students. Part of this process is we get to design with students. They sit down at this thing that we call ideation.
Yeah.
And we sketch up concepts together, and then we put them up on the wall. It's amazing. It's amazing to talk to some of these students. There's a seventh grade girl at TJ who was just fascinated by chromosomes and how her genealogy changes. Anyhow, if you put a wall between us, you thought you were talking to your peer.
Yeah.
How she learns on YouTube, she plays something I think called Stardew Valley, which is like a multi-gamer sustainable farm game, which I didn't know something like that existed. I'll bet she could talk about what's important in developing sustainable agricultural industries. I mean, she was amazing, and it was a seventh grade girl.
Yeah. So you like the interactions?
Oh my gosh!
Yeah. Well, the kids aren't cynical yet.
No, they're not. Middle school kids are fun too.
Yeah. I mean,
we had up at Stephen Decatur, we had a board that said, "What are your hopes and dreams?" And you saw so many things that were so future focused. You know, I want to be a scientist. I want to be a marine biologist. I want to open a bakery. And we want to tie the facility design as much as possible to their aspirations and their learning. But you also had some funny. Middle school kid stuff.
Well, yeah, I mean, they're still still 12 and 13, 14 years old. All right, so what's been the overall public reaction? People are generally not comfortable with change. That's just sort of a human nature mm-hmm. thing. I read this study this week that fascinated me, that the human brain, that we're hardwired to be negative. I mean, it goes back to sort of caveman days, really? Because you didn't want to get lulled into complacency, sure. So you're cynical about things. And our brain still fires that way, even though we don't have to worry about the woolly mammoth coming out of the whatever. Yet there is always this sort of public reaction to sort of not embrace change. I have found in an industry that changes constantly, that change generally ends up, generally, for the most part, being better. I mean, if you learn to kind of lean into the curve rather than sort of fighting it, it's even better than that. But yet people are reluctant. So I'm sure you're getting homers that are attached emotionally to one school or one name and some of that. But what's been the overall reception from the public?
You know, maybe I'm looking through rose-colored glasses, but it's generally been pretty positive, although change is uncomfortable.
Yeah.
I probably got to give some credit to some people before us, because I think DPS has been on the stage of this a few different times in their past about we were right here and right here. And I know in my early months here, some of the conversations is we need to move on some of these things. The intergovernment meeting that they had in Middleton, and some of that was the conversation. So maybe it's just the right time.
I think that most of the voices, there's a lot going on in our community right now, and there will always be naysayers. I mean, that's just a part of life. But I think there's a lot more momentum and people that are buying in than there has been in 20 years. There's just a lot rolling.
There really is.
And I think you get a Dr. Frigot who comes to town, who's, you know, a likable guy. It's hard to be mad at him. He's just a likable guy, right?
Yeah.
We had a change agent in Gloria, and I was a big fan, and I know some people weren't, but she was brought in to do a very specific thing, which she did,
mm-hmm.
and I don't think anything that Dr. Frigot is doing now would have been possible without sort of that, and so I want to make sure that I always feel like defending her, because she just did a lot. But now you got some of the hard stuff done, mm-hmm. and now it's more about, let's get where we're going the next 10, 15 years. I think there's a lot of people that are buying into that. And what does this look like? And I think there's a resurgence in District 61. I can tell you our 15-year-old, he's going to get his learner's permit today.
Oh, nice.
Wow. There you go. Be very afraid. All of you, be very afraid. But he's had such a tremendous experience at Eisenhower High School. Excellent. As a freshman. You know, his now he's in his second semester, where this kid and others, I mean, he stays after school, like, on game nights, you know, with his bandmates. I mean, he doesn't come home, you know, until 8:30. I mean, he's at that high school from, you know, 8 o'clock in the morning till 8:30 at night. I mean, that's unusual, or at least that's not maybe what people's perspective is. And we still get these questions all the time, and I just wish people had a reality versus what their perception is.
Yeah, that's so true.
You're in these schools a lot.
Oh, my gosh, yeah. And just to, you know, just to work with the students, perception, we do scrutinize ourselves, I think, very hard in this community, and we don't necessarily see the great work that's going on. We work with the Inspire Ed program, so we get an intern in our office. This is our third year in a row, and I can't say enough about the capabilities of these students.
Yeah.
I just can't.
Well, I would encourage people. We've got particularly an older demographic that really haven't maybe had a reason to be inside a school because they don't have kids or grandkids that are in the public school system, so there's no reason for them to sort of be there. I think the more you guys can do to bring the public to you, and then in segments like this, bring you to the public, I mean, that's just a good thing. But there's a lot to be proud of and a lot to be excited about. And AC, I mean, you know, that. And if you're complaining about kids having AC, you're just too old. You really got to come to grips with that.
And don't forget 3D printing and and all of the innovative things that are really engaging students that are part of this. It's just amazing watching in the Stephen Decatur hack, watching the makerspace that's in there. And Jesse Blunt from Project Think, well, I want to thank him for helping us understand how making is part of 21st century education. Those sorts of opportunities are being provided, are going to be provided by our district.
You know, I was like the worst enemy of, on the foundation board because I hated paying for books. I mean, why are we buying books? I always thought the book industry was the biggest scam going in education, right?
Especially
you know,
in college.
But even, you know, I'd see this in schools. And it's like, okay, you put a new paragraph in every year, so you got to spend another $75 to buy the book again, you know. But now that we're in a digital space and kids have iPads and they have the technology, it's an amazingly, it's much more affordable, right? I know that sometimes people think technology has this huge cost, but I don't think people understood the hard cost of education when it was buying textbooks.
Absolutely. What they have in their hand can house all those textbooks. And I know they still have some textbooks. We still have some of that. But I see a pretty near future where we that just won't be a part of it.
Yeah, well, I can't wait for it. I think it's amazing. And you're right, the doing part of education, right?
It's
not just sort of an adult standing up there and just giving you this, you know, having them be a part of learning. I mean, I think all the way through college. I remember when Millikan, you know, sort of put this in place, and there were schools, I think, that were doing this, you know, before that. Mm-hmm. But the idea of giving back to the community and being involved, all these things, it's very, very important for buy-in.
Yeah, experiential learning. I mean, it's how we learn. It's how we learn deeply. We've known that for a long time. And so our educational programs are evolving to include that. That's where you learn the creativity and innovation that's so important.
All right. Well, there's exciting changes coming up for the next couple of years. Guys, we really appreciate you being here today. Thank you.
Our pleasure.
We're going to take a break. Here's Lindsay with your three-day forecast.
Today, we've got partly sunny skies, highs near 45 degrees. Tonight, chance of rain showers, thunderstorms possible as well after 3 a.m. with lows around 37 degrees. Saturday, rain possible, a thunderstorm too with highs near 54 degrees. And Sunday, cloudy, gradually becoming sunny, highs near 40 degrees. Right now in downtown Decatur, it is 29 degrees.
Patients receiving a total knee replacement at HSHS St. Mary's Hospital are now available to go home the same day of surgery. Traditionally, a joint replacement requires 1 to 3 nights in the hospital, but now patients in overall good health and who have the right support system can recover in the comfort of their own homes. Our goal is to get you home for dinner and back to life faster. Ask your physician if this is the right option for you. St. Mary's is Decatur's leader in same-day total knee replacement.
Now Decatur and Hickory Point Bank are proud to bring you a new video series, Invested, highlighting locally owned businesses that are proud to call Central Illinois home. Find out about Heinkel's Packing and why they are invested. This 106-year-old family business now spans 4 generations and faithfully serves its customers with the highest quality, award-winning smoked meat products. Learn more about Heinkel's and why local matters to them in Invested, presented by Hickory Point Bank and Now Decatur.
It's It's the 2019 Neuhoff Media Kids Fest, presented by Melanie and Al Schelling, your State Farm Insurance, and Neuhoff Media. It's a day filled with family fun, including bounce houses, face painting, obstacle courses, entertainment, and vendors with interactive activities for kids. All this fun is under one roof at the Decatur Civic Center on Saturday, March 23rd from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. It's the 2019 Neuhoff Media Kids Fest on Saturday, March 23rd in downtown Decatur.
It's a little bit funny.
You're listening to Byers and Company, only on WSOY, 1340 AM and 103.3 FM. Streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
I don't have much money, but boy, if I did.
Cheesy, right? But just the right amount of cheese?
Oh, it's perfect cheese.
It's like that three blend cheese.
Mm-hmm.
Casserole cheese.
It's casserole cheese. Delicious.
Rocket Man coming May 31st. The trailer was released yesterday, so we're celebrating with Elton John bum music all day today. We got to take a break for the news. We get back here, Mark Tupper and Tupper on Sports, and then our Brink Outer Home highlights straight ahead. Don't go anywhere.
This is Shiler with your stories now, brought to you by Gerber State Bank. Today is National Margarita Day. How will you choose to spend it? With several restaurants and bars around town serving their own version of the classic cocktail, there are plenty of options to choose from. In a new video on NowDecatur.com, celebrate the margarita and see what some of the local Decatur establishments have to offer. Expect to pay 5 cents for every plastic bag you take home from the store if Governor J.B. Pritzker gets his way. The freshman governor's budget proposal estimates raising $20 million from the bag tax. His budget also increases taxes on cigarettes for an estimated $55 million in new revenue. Tomorrow, the Celebrating Decatur's Black History Gala will honor local African Americans who have positively changed Decatur's history by becoming a first or implementing a voice of change in the community. The event, featuring guest speaker David Bullock, star of The Real Pastors of Detroit, will include awards for Business of the Year, Educator of the Year, and Organization of the Year. For more information, call the Greater Decatur Black Chamber of Commerce at 217-329-2171. For these stories, podcasts, and videos, go to nowdecatur.com.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. President Trump meets with the Vice Premier of China today as trade talks with China appear to be making progress.
The U.S. and China have set a March 1st deadline to negotiate an agreement before American tariffs on $200 billion in Chinese imports rise to 25% from 10%. President Trump has signaled a willingness to extend the deadline if negotiators are making progress.
Fox's John Decker at the White House. A Brambleton, Virginia elementary school principal is apologizing for a Black History Month gym class lesson where third graders were told to pretend to be runaway slaves. Parents complained.
You have three teachers plus an administrator who failed to see the racism in this exercise. That's startling.
Michelle Thomas is the local NAACP president. The principal says in a statement the lesson was culturally insensitive to our students and families. This is Fox News.
Your friend Sean Hannity here. You know, investing in real estate around this great country is something that I take very seriously. Now, I can tell you there are a lot of agents or national companies. They look good on paper or make big incentives or may even offer to work for less money. But one thing I've learned over the years is details in real estate mean serious dollars. Now, I have seen firsthand the importance of working with and trusting the advice of an agent who truly has their hand on the pulse of the local market, that actually live in the market and have proven track records of making sellers money in that city through good markets and challenging markets. There's only one agent I trust, and I'm talking about Glenda Williamson. She can guarantee to sell your home at an agreed price and deadline, or guess what? She'll buy it. And you know what? She'll get your home the attention it needs to sell for the most money guaranteed. Don't trust your home to just anyone. Now, I've done the homework. Talk to the agent that I trust for the best advice. Call Glenda, 217-875-8081, or online at GlendaWillSellYourHome.com. That's GlendaWillSellYourHome.com.
Here is Lindsay Romano with your WSOY three-day forecast.
Partly sunny skies, highs near 45 degrees. And for tonight, chance of rain, thunderstorms possible after 3 a.m., cloudy skies and lows around 37. For your Saturday, rain, possible thunderstorms, highs near 54. And Sunday, mostly cloudy, turning sunny and highs near 40 degrees. It is 29 degrees currently in downtown Decatur.
Tupper on Sports on WSOY 1340 AM and 103.3 FM. Streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
Back here on a Friday. Good morning and welcome. Look at that. That's sunshine outside those windows. Very happy about that. Time for Mark Tupper and Tupper on Sports. All right, let's start with Illini basketball.
Well, Illinois is back at it tomorrow morning when they host Penn State at the State Farm Center. Game time is 11 a.m., a game you can listen to here on WSOY. It is a dangerous opponent for a number of reasons. You know, fans and players look at the Big Ten standings, understandably, and they make judgments based on how these teams line up. And if you look at the standings right now, you see Penn State tied for last place with Northwestern. And if you conclude that this is a bad basketball team, that is a really dangerous conclusion. And if the Illinois players do that and take the floor tomorrow with that mindset, they will lose. You look instead at the KenPom rankings. This is the metric system that most people pay attention to. Illinois is number 62 in the country, which, given their record, is actually really good. Penn State, with just a 3-12 Big Ten record, is number 48. That is a better representation of who this team is. They've won three of their last five. They pulled off the biggest upset of the season in the Big Ten when they beat Michigan. They play crazy hard, and that will be a very difficult game for Illinois tomorrow. Also, there's a distraction going on tomorrow. The university will honor the 30th anniversary of the Flying Illini, and all of the main pieces of that iconic, amazing basketball team will be there or are scheduled to be there. Six players have been announced. Kenny Battle, Nick Anderson, Lowell Hamilton, Kendall Gill, Stephen Bardo, and Marcus Liberty are all supposed to be there, along with 87-year-old head coach Lou Henson. For those old enough to remember, that was just an incredibly exciting team. They were 31-5. They endured some injuries along the way, reached the Final Four, lost an absolute heartbreaker in the national semifinal game, 83-81 to Michigan, probably the most famous Illinois basketball team of all time. I mean, you become famous when they have a name for you. You know, they really never had a name for the 05 team with D and Darren, but the Flying Illini. My nephew, who's a junior in high school, has a Flying Illini hoodie, and they've created a set of five bobbleheads to commemorate that team. Actually, there were six players that could have been, and one of them wasn't. And when we come back, I'll tell you the story of this, because this is a really interesting story of who got left off the bobblehead list.
All right, on the other side of the break with Mark Tupper and Tupper on Sports.
When you talk about tires, you're talking about numbers, tire size, speed rating, load index, air pressure, and of course, the price. But there's really only one number you need to know for tires. That's 877-5051, the phone number for Smith Tire Company. We're the area's only Michelin Alliance certified tire professionals. Just tell us what kind of vehicle you drive, and we'll go over the numbers with you. When you have as much experience as we have at Smith Tire Company, we know what all the numbers mean and how they can affect your tire and service needs. And with quality tires from Michelin, BF Goodrich, and Uniroyal, we'll have a tire to fit your needs and budget. And for service needs, remember Smith Tire Company for oil changes, wheel alignment, air conditioner repair, brakes, shocks and struts, tire rotation, and tire repair. When you're driving on the highway or when the weather is bad, you deserve to have confidence in your tires and in your tire dealer. So see Smith Tire Company today at 2119 East Pershing Road or call us at 877-5051. That's the only number you'll need to know for tires.
Back here with Mark Tupper and Tupper on Sports. Mark, it's hard to believe they scored 100 or more points 8 times that year.
Unbelievable. Look at the score of their game against LSU.
127.
That was when Shaq played for LSU.
Yeah, that's crazy. All right, the bobbleheads.
I told this story last night. It's well worth repeating. When they decided to commemorate the Flying Illini with a set of bobbleheads, there were six main players to consider. I named them earlier because they'll all be there tomorrow. Kenny Battle, Nick Anderson, Lowell Hamilton, Kendall Gill, Stephen Bardo, and Marcus Liberty. And yet only five bobbleheads were produced, and one player was not included. And that's an interesting story because the player not included in the bobblehead set was Stephen Bardo, who started every NCAA tournament game for the Flying Illini. I think of Marcus Liberty as more of the sixth man, although he started some too. But Stephen fell out of grace with a lot of people 5 years ago when he wrote a book about his experience as a member of the Flying Illini. He was very critical of Lou Henson, and in his zeal to make his account real and accurate, he felt compelled to write about the problems he had with Lou. And not only did it anger Lou and many of the in the administration, even other players kind of wondered out loud what the point was. The truth is most players have disagreements with their coaches, and they have some tough times, some tough games. Why didn't he play me more? Why was he so rough on me in practice? And Stephen Lou had it out about this 5 years ago. And I know both those guys well. I know Stephen way better than any other of the Flying Illini. He and I are fairly close. Lou, I know well. I'm guessing it still – well, I know it still bothers Lou, but I do not think you'll see a bit of that tomorrow. I think Lou's pushed that behind him. But it may be a little more awkward for Stephen because not only he'll be there, and he is the TV color analyst for the Big Ten Network tomorrow, and he'll be honored. He'll be out there on the floor with the other five, and I'm sure people within the university will have a different explanation for why he was not included in the bobblehead set. But in my mind, there's a little bit of punishment, a little payback for the book. He will always be a key part of that team in anyone's mind who remembers that team. But not a part of the bobblehead. If it were me, I would have produced six players in the bobblehead. I think that would have been fair and a better representation of who this team is. But there's five, and Steven's not one of them.
Yeah, for Cardinals fans, Mark, this is like the Ozzie Smith, Tony La Russa thing, right? You don't know who to believe or which side. You just know both of them were important to the organization, and for whatever reason, they had that falling out. So interesting stuff. Mark, have a great weekend. We appreciate your insight. And the Flying Illini, by the way, as Mark mentioned, they beat LSU. That was LSU with Shaquille O'Neal. They beat him 127-100. That 127 points is still, I believe, the record for the Fighting Illini to this day. That was back in 1988. And LSU coach Dale Brown said at the time, that was the finest group of athletes I've ever seen in this gym. And that was a heartbreaking loss in the Final Four because, oh, thought we had it. Fun group. I'm going to share this video. They've got on the champagneroom.com a highlight reel, a minute 28 seconds of just the Flying Illini dunks from that year. It's very exciting. Very cool. All right, Brinkotter home highlight. I've done my homework right here from your hometown, and we'll get to it. Going to Baker Woods today, right after the Marquee Coffee Break. Fresh roasting coffee, locally indicator for over 30 years. Marquee Coffee, the official drink of choice for discerning coffee drinkers everywhere. The magic is in their beans.
There is no doubt you've been touched by the generosity and impact of our donors in some way. But do you know what the Community Foundation of Macon County actually does? I'm Natalie Beck, president of the Community Foundation of Macon County. Primarily, we work as a GPS for our donors to help them navigate their philanthropic journeys. We work with donors to establish individual funds in their names that can benefit a cause, a favorite organization, or provide a scholarship. As the administrator of the donor funds, we invest the assets, consider the donor's advice in grant making, and we work with nonprofits that will benefit from our donors' generosity. Last year, our donors made over $3.6 million in grants to 298 nonprofits. 98% of those grant dollars stayed right here in Central Illinois. We invite you to explore the opportunities we provide for you to create positive change. With so many reasons to give, why wouldn't you join the movement of givers here in Macon County? Call us at 429-3000 to learn how you can give where you live.
My dear late husband and I bought our refrigerator 60 years ago. It served us faithfully over the years, but recently it stopped working. I hated to part with it for sentimental reasons. So I called Dick Van Dyke Appliance World to see if they could come out and look at it. They came out that same day and told me they thought the old boy still had some life left in him. All it needed was a new cold control, which he had on his truck. It cost me only $120 for parts and labor, and saved me from having to buy a new one. And my husband would be so glad to know the refrigerator we bought together is still taking good care of me. Thanks, Dick Van Dyke. Wow!
I'm Dennis Reagan, president of Dick Van Dyke Appliance World. This is a true story that happened here in Decatur within the past month. Our technicians carry a huge parts inventory on their trucks and fix most appliance problems on the first visit. Wow!
Dick Van Dyke Appliance World. When you buy from us, you get the whole store.
You're listening to Buyers and Company, only on WSOY, 1340 AM and 103.3 FM. Streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
Back here on a Friday. Good morning and welcome. We're live on this February 22nd, and it's time now for the Brinkotter Home Highlight. And everyone knows that Brinkotter.com is where you start your journey to your brand new home. I'm looking at 453 23 Hickory Place, Tom, and it's in Baker Woods. Help me understand where this is in Baker Woods.
Okay, if you know where Baker Woods is, it's across from the airport, off of Airport Road is Baker Woods Lane. You just take go west on Baker Woods Lane, wind all the way around to the back of the subdivision. You'll get to a street called Buckeye, and it's on a cul-de-sac.
Ah, okay, I'm with you now. All right, this is a great house, $189,000. You're talking literally an amazing one-and-a-half story. It's been updated. There's been a lot of work done on this, hasn't there?
Brian, this was one of the last houses built in Baker Woods. It was actually built by my father as a spec house in 1988. And I think you'd be hard-pressed to find almost 2,900 square feet, three bedrooms, three and a half baths, possible four bedrooms, walkout basement, three-car garage for under $190,000.
Oh, it's amazing. And when I look through the photos, which is what I love about Brinkotter.com, because there's 32 different photos, and I can look at the map and directions, the street view, all of that. It looks like they've done a lot of work on the inside. They're celebrating their 30th anniversary along with the Flying Illini from 1988. But this house stands up. It's got a great feel to it.
It's got unbelievable curb appeal. The owners have just replaced the master bath and the other upstairs bath. It's got a beautiful living room with a fireplace, cathedral ceilings with skylights in it. And one of the best points about this location is this cul-de-sac only has four houses on it. So that means the lots are larger. This house sits on almost three quarters of an acre.
Yeah, which I wouldn't have guessed. You know, when you think about Baker Woods, you think about smaller yards maybe, but you're exactly right. All right, the basement, the whole nine yards. I mean, this is beautiful. 4523 Hickory Place. If you're looking at Brinkotter.com, you can also go to our Natticator Facebook page or the Natticator app. It'll take you right to this particular listing. It's pretty amazing. You talk about bang for your buck. It is amazing. Now, this is Eisenhower School District, obviously. And elementary school, it says bomb. We'll figure that out because they're changing all the grade schools. But $63 or $65 a square foot, that's an unbelievable price.
Unbelievable value. You can walk to Thomas Jefferson School from this home. One thing I want everybody to note, if you scroll down on the details page of this house, there's a 3D Matterport walkthrough tour on this one as well.
All right.
Along with,
explain
you know, we
that.
Always have the floor plans and the photos.
All right, explain what the 3D tour is.
This is a three-dimensional tour, Brian, that you can actually walk through the home, spin the pictures around 360 degrees. You can go from the first floor to the second floor to the basement. You just point your mouse the direction that you want to go, and it'll walk you through the house. As a side note to that, come see us at the Mount Zion Business Expo. We're going to be introducing our latest technology, which is virtual reality home showing.
That's really cool. We'll be out there as well. Now, there's three open houses this Sunday.
Three opens. This one is open by Iris Giuliani. Is going to have it open for Tony Perino from 1 to 3. We will have the two models open out at Southeast Place, which is the new subdivision behind the theater.
All right, that's 2346 Rolling Creek and 2384 Rolling Creek. So those are your three open houses. You can get that on the main page at Brinkotter.com. Great house today, Tom. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Brian.
All right, Tom Brinkotter and the folks at Brinkotter.com. That's a really nice place. Did you get a chance to look through
this? I did. There's a lot of...
It's not what I would guess... Lot size and everything else from Baker Woods.
No, I mean, it has three bedrooms, but there's also kind of an office downstairs, rec room, so there's a lot of space there.
Three and a half bath.
Nice updates.
And 2,900 square feet of finished living space.
Have you done that thing he was talking about?
I have not.
When he emailed me last night, he said, oh, I'm going to have this matador thing. I'm like, okay, whatever. I don't know what that is. And then I saw what it was. I'm like, what? This is crazy. It's like being... At the open house.
Where do you find it?
On the
there we go.
Yeah,
Matterport.
Just scroll down. Yes.
Explore 3D space. It's loading. I'm at Brinkotter.com. By the way, all right. So this takes you into the house.
Where else can you get that?
Well, that's why if you do your homework here, rather than thousands of miles away, you understand clearly Brinkotter.com.
Yeah, that is amazing.
That's absolutely amazing.
It is so cool.
So I just like take a walk through. You can go in and. Spin it around.
Oh, I love it.
It's all with like just 360 with your mouse.
Yes.
So you really get a feel of the space. And then you want to go check it out
this Sunday.
You just go up the stairs. I'm going to go up the stairs. No big deal. I love this.
4523 Hickory Place, our Brinkouter home highlight today. And you can get to that. By the way, we're giving away Avon passes. If you want to hold on to them until May, you can go see Rocket Man. Or you can use them ahead of time. All you have to do is like, comment, feel free to share. I saw a headline yesterday that I know the headline meant me to think one thing, but halfway through the headline, I went, what? Do you ever do that?
Sometimes.
This is our neighbors to the east.
Okay.
This is the state of Indiana. And when I there are times when I feel like Indiana should be in the deep south.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean? Do not feel a difference. A, I'm jealous of them because their roads are nice and they don't have holes and they probably have a lot less crime. But there is a very southern feel to the mentality of that state sometimes.
Okay, yes. I don't disagree with that.
All of our relatives down in like Boonville, Indiana, no different than like Kentucky or
yes.
Tennessee or like Mississippi.
You got some Klan in Indiana, don't you?
Not Klan. I think that's a poor choice of words when you're talking about the South.
Your Klan?
K-L-A-N?
No.
Yeah. No, I know, but when you're
it's
talking about this.
C-L-A-N.
I get that. I just would not ever stereotype the word Klan with South. I mean, that's a bad.
Okay.
I mean, only you wouldn't think of that. That's a horrible way to describe your Southern neighbors. I'm saying there's just, it's not anything pejorative. It's just there's a different sort of feel. And I kind of feel that in Indiana. And I'm sure maybe if you get outside of St. Louis, probably some of Missouri is that way as well. And maybe we're that way here in Illinois. I am I looking down my nose at our neighbors?
I don't know. I need to hear the story to know what the heck you're talking about.
I'm talking about, is there a southern, sort of vaguely hicky kind of feel to Indiana that you don't necessarily feel in Illinois?
I would say I've been to parts of Illinois.
And I say hicky with endearment.
Yes, I would say there are parts of Illinois that I'm sure Indiana thinks the same thing. So, no, I don't. I don't actually think of Indiana that way.
Okay, outside of Indianapolis, how much time have you been spent anywhere in Indiana?
Oh, like Santa Claus Land.
Okay. Even in Lafayette, there is some, it's just a slower kind of thing. I remember Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers describing like leaving Gainesville, Florida, because everything moved very slow down there. And they went to Hollywood and it was go. I mean, there is a, I think if you look at, name me a city that you know of. I mean, like here we can go Chicago, Peoria, Springfield,
yes.
Bloomington, Champaign, Decatur. In Indiana, get outside of Indianapolis or maybe Lafayette and do that for me. Name three more cities.
I really can't. I really can't.
I think it's a population area thing and more of a urban versus country kind of culture. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
All right. The headline when we get back on the other side of the break. Here is Lindsay Romano and your WSOY 3-day forecast.
Partly sunny skies today. Highs are going to be around 45 degrees. Then for tonight, chance of rain showers. Could even see some thunderstorms with lows around 37 degrees. For your Saturday, rain, possible thunderstorms again. Highs near 54. And Sunday, mostly cloudy, gradually becoming sunny and highs near 40 degrees. It is 30 degrees currently in downtown Decatur.
Cataracts don't just happen suddenly. They develop slowly over time. The effects can start as early as age 55, and many adults aren't even aware that they have them. Gailey Eye Clinic uses precision laser technology to correct the cataracts and improve your vision. Cutting-edge technology, paired with the area's most experienced doctors, can help you see the world clearly. To learn more about cataract surgery, visit GaileyEyeClinic.com. Gailey Eye Clinic, focused on you.
There is no doubt you've been touched by the generosity and impact of our donors in some way, but do you know what the Community Foundation of Macon County actually does? I'm Natalie Beck, president of the Community Foundation of Macon County. Primarily, we work as a GPS for our donors to help them navigate their philanthropic journeys. We work with donors to establish individual funds in their names that can benefit a cause, a favorite organization, or provide a scholarship. As the administrator of the donor funds, we invest the assets, consider the donor's advice in grant making, and we work with nonprofits that will benefit from our donors' generosity. Last year, our donors made over $3.6 million in grants to 298 nonprofits. 98% of those grant dollars stayed right here in Central Illinois. We invite you to explore the opportunities we provide for you to create positive change. With so many reasons to give, why wouldn't you join the movement of givers here in Macon County? Call us at 429-3000 to learn how you can give where you live.
The hardest working people in America deserve the hardest working products. Blaine's Farm and Fleet has the hard working automotive parts and supplies you need to keep your vehicle running strong. Right now, Farm and Fleet Platinum Automotive Batteries are $7 off, priced from just $82.99 after sale and exchange. Farm and Fleet conventional oil is only $1.69 a quart. A 1 gallon pump bottle jug of Permatex Fast Orange Hand Cleaner with pumice is just $7.99. Save $10 on a pair of Rain-X Latitude, Trico Force, or Bosch Icon wiper blades. Fram air filters are now 10% off. Farm and Fleet brake parts, cleaners, degreasers, and lubricants, your choice, just $1.99 each. And March 2nd and 3rd only, from 10 until 2 each day, join us for our truck and auto care demos. Enter to win one of four sets of tires, plus get a bonus giveaway when you attend a demo. While supplies last, see store for details. That's genuine value from Blaine's Farm and Fleet, the original, authentic, still family owned since 1955.
You're listening to Buyers and Company, only on WSOY, 1340 AM and 103.3 FM. Streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
Distinctly remember when this was like being played on the radio as a pop song.
Is that an accordion? What is that in the background?
Sounds like an organ.
Organ?
Keyboard. All right, so here's the headline. And I immediately went to some stereotypes that I'm not proud of in my own mind. And the Fox 59 story, and it says, here's the headline. Former child bride aims to raise Indiana's minimum age to marry from 15.
Okay, read again.
Former child bride aims to raise Indiana's minimum age to marry from 15. I couldn't get past child bride. I didn't care about her story. I thought, you can get married in Indiana at the age of 15?
That's apparently. Wow, I didn't even know that.
Okay, well, here's where your stereotype backfires.
Because what's the legal age to marry in Illinois?
16.
Okay.
Now, here's my question. How does one marry somebody that other people get put in jail for having relationships with?
That is a very good question.
Now, evidently, there's a general age limit per state, and it differs vastly by state. And then there's a statutory age when there are exceptions taken into account. Some of that may mean a judge. Some of that's like parental consent. In Alaska, you can get married at 14.
See, this has got to change. And this is why that child bride thing, this is wrong. This is, people take advantage. These are children.
First of all, how do you know that this isn't children marrying children?
It doesn't matter. That is not okay.
Okay, so what if a young woman gets pregnant and a couple gets pregnant and they decide they're going to marry and do the right thing and one of them's 16 and one of them's 15? You'd rather say, no, I know
better. I'd
rather
they wait.
Okay, but that's not up to you.
It's just... No.
So in some places, it's a hard, fast 18, no matter what the circumstances. There are some states you have to be 21 to get married. Now, once again, I think it's one of those things where if you can, like, literally serve in the Army or vote, should you not be allowed to get married? I don't understand the 21 thing.
Yeah, the 21 thing, why can't there just be adult 18?
It's Mississippi, by the way. They just went the whole other South way. Nope, got to be 21.
They had a really bad reputation.
In Nebraska, you got to be over 19. I mean, who decides
19,
that?
19,
that's a weird number, right? Evidently, in most states, couples are allowed to marry at a younger age with the consent of both parents or with judicial consent. The minimum age for marriage, when all exemptions are taken into account, varies from state to state. So I got all uppity when I was reading this headline. Like, you got to be kidding me.
Wow.
I was going to get like Seamus on the phone. Like, what is going on with you all over there? 15? And then I found out Illinois is 16. So how is it that on one hand, you would have a crime. And then on the other hand, we can make it legal. How does that work?
Well, I imagine in the case, like you mentioned, let's say a 30-year-old man wants to marry a 15-year-old girl, which I'm sorry, just gross. There's something wrong there.
Okay.
Parents would have to sign off.
Well, hang on a second. They did. This woman named Donna Pollard is an advocate, and she says, just after a couple of months after I turned 16, my mother consented to my being married to a man who was at the time 31.
Yeah, which I'm, you know, in this case, I'm sure she was. It was some kind
of
religious
thing. Now, her mother
was
married at 13.
Not okay.
But wasn't there a time when this was just sort of standard operating
procedure?
There
was a time for a lot of things that we don't do anymore. You know?
So my question is, if the age of sexual consent is 16 mm-hmm. in Indiana, how can a 15-year-old get married everyone's like okay with it?
Because according to like older law, consummation of the marriage includes...
You'd be surprised how much of the world still does this stuff. Like we're not bad here. We can still improve,
that.
But you'd be really surprised at how brides get handed over for whatever reason.
Sometimes they are tiny children.
All right. This has just creeped me out. Then I did some studying, and I'm like even more creeped out. So sorry, Indiana. I was quick to judgment on that, and I shouldn't have been. We're going to take a break for the top of the hour news. We've got a lot to get to here in our final hour, including Angela from the YMCA. Angela. We'll talk a little Pilates and swimming.
Swimming.
Stay tuned.
No matter where you are, we're there. WSOY Decatur, 1340 AM and 103.3 FM. Streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
This is Shiler with your stories now, brought to you by Gerber State Bank. Tomorrow, the Celebrating Decatur's Black History Gala will honor local